What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
Harvey Weinstein case yesterday? My goodness! Every single media outlet yesterday covered the blockbuster decision by the New York State Court of Appeals to overturn Harvey Weinstein's conviction. So I'm outside with my neighbors, my wife and a couple of my neighbors, yesterday afternoon, and this comes up. And we end up talking about Harvey Weinstein and his career. And how here's a guy who seemingly had it all. Money, power, critical prestige, has won more Oscars than almost anyone. Not more than anyone, but more than almost anyone. Married to a beautiful woman. Has a nice family, at least it seems. On top of that, gets the opportunity to sleep with all these other beautiful women that aren't his wife. Gets to hang out with presidents and all these powerful people. Had it all. And now he's sitting in a prison cell. So my neighbor Tara says, what a fall from grace. And I don't think there's any arguing with that. Irrespective of what happens with this trial, and the new trial and any of these other trials that he's been involved in, it is a huge fall from grace. So it got me thinking, what have been the greatest falls from grace in American history? And maybe we'll limit it to the last 100 years, because, you know, if we're going to debate whether or not Thomas Paine was a fall from grace or Benedict Arnold was a fall from grace, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how qualified we are to compare Thomas Paine to Elliot Spitzer. And I'm going to give you a couple of the names that I have. And I'd like to hear yours at 800-848-9222. But before you call, two things that I want to try to ask you to expand your mind with. Think of, like, what would really be a fall from grace? For instance, I think in Harvey Weinstein's case, it's clear that it's a fall from grace, because not only is the guy sitting in a prison cell right now, but the guy was divorced from his beautiful wife, who everybody says is super nice, and is not quite destitute, but lost almost all of his money. A good chunk of it in a divorce and with child support, and a huge chunk of it in paying lawyers. Now, some people say, oh, Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo still has millions of dollars, still gets invited to all the good parties, and is talked about frequently as a candidate for mayor, governor, or attorney general. So I don't put Andrew Cuomo in that category. Someone like O.J. Simpson, I would put in that category, because here was someone that had it all, again, seemingly, and lost it all. So So don't give me someone that lost a job, right? Like Chris Cuomo, for instance. He lost his job on CNN. Oh, my goodness. He's still making more than you or I are, in all likelihood, at the whatever job he has now. He's still famous, still has a nice family, still has a lot of money, still has a lot of influence. Can you really call that a fall from grace? I am talking about something that was an all-encompassing fall from grace. Something huge, where you're talking about public disgrace, loss of financial fortune, maybe loss of freedom, maybe the loss of your relationship, and everything else. The other thing I'd like you to keep in mind, so try and keep it broad like that, somebody that's lost it all. The other thing I'd like you to keep in mind is maybe not just pick Me Too people. Because it's easy to pick all the Me Too people, right? You got Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, Bill Cosby. It becomes an easy list to put together if we're just talking sex scandals. But if we expand it beyond that, I think it's a little bit more tricky. So a couple that I put on there are, aside from the ones that I just mentioned, one was Morton Downey Jr. Morton Downey Jr. was absolutely a tremendous fall from grace. Not only did he go from being one of the most watched and most influential talk show hosts in America, but he and to then struggling to get other TV talk show jobs, but he really had his reputation destroyed with that hoax, with the assault and the swastikas. The other one that's, I think, very easy is Jared from Subway. Jared Fogle, I believe his name was. Here was a guy on top of the world, a leading philanthropist, super wealthy, super famous, and was viewed as good by the public. Lost it all. Sitting in a prison cell right now. And the last one I'll mention, and then I'll see what you guys have, is John Mitchell. John Mitchell, one of the president's best friends, President Nixon, then the Attorney General of the United States then goes to being a federal prisoner. Can you think of more of a fall from grace to go from being the top federal prosecutor in the country to just another prison inmate? I guess you could sort of say the same thing of Bernard Kerik. So one of my neighbors mentions Anthony Weiner, because Anthony Weiner was a congressman. And, you know, he was a candidate for mayor, and he obviously had these scandals, and he himself wound up in prison. So I happen to know Anthony Weiner. So I texted him. I told him exactly the conversation that we were having, and I asked him if he agreed that he would fall in that category of being a dramatic fall from grace. And he gave a very thoughtful answer. He says, well, I guess you first have to define your terms. First of all, I hope he doesn't mind that I'm sharing this text message, but given how much of his text messages have become public over the years, something tells me this message won't exactly be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Well, I guess you first have to define your terms. I was just a simple congressman. Mine was a failure to reach what people thought was my potential. Weinstein and OJ and Tiger and Gary Hart were big deals who came crashing down. Nixon must be close to the top. No, that swimmer guy also comes to mind. So that was his answer. Curious what else you've got. And we'll go through these quickly. 800-848-9222. Eric has somebody that I had on my list as well. Eric, who do you got?
Hey, Frank. Oh, yeah. Elliot Spitzer. I was going to say Cuomo, too. But yeah, Elliot Spitzer.
I agree with that, and a lot of my neighbors thought that was a good one. The one thing
he
that
went after the sex trade, he went after sex workers too, and then that was his whole thing.
No. But the one thing that gives me pause with Elliot Spitzer is the guy still has hundreds of millions of dollars. So have you really? Yeah. I mean, it's true. His reputation is shattered, and he's not the governor of New York anymore. But at least he gets to wipe his tears on a pillow filled with cash. You know, I don't know about you, but like, if I lost my job and if I was unemployed for 6 months, I'd be homeless. Right? I would literally be homeless if somebody didn't take me in. In the case of Elliot Spitzer, the guy still has hundreds of millions of dollars. $1,000. So
it's more of a little trip.
Exactly. Can we really cry that much for him? Thank you, Eric. I'll put it on the list because a lot of people have that in mind. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I hope that makes sense. I'm not trying to make it all about money because reputation is certainly important. But if your reputation is destroyed, it's a lot easier to deal with a destroyed reputation if you have $100 million, right? Still go on vacation wherever you want. Still don't have to worry about how you're going to pay your living expenses. You could go out to eat every night if you want. So that's what the only reason, that was my only hesitance in putting Spitzer on the list. 800-848-9222. Jose on Long Island. Hi, Jose.
Hey, Frank. How you doing?
Good. What's on your, who do you got for us?
Jimmy Swaggart.
Oh, that's a good one. I think you're right on that one. He did try to make a comeback, but it never really took off. He never really was successful with that comeback, was he?
He couldn't be trusted back into the ministry.
Yeah, and no, that's I think that's a good one. I think I would agree with Jimmy Swaggart. I think even though, again, you know, there are, I'm sure, a lot of people that do think he rehabilitated himself. I'd like to get Jimmy Swaggart on the radio one of these days. He's still around. 89 years old. I'd love to have him on to see if he agrees with that. 800-848-9222. Michael, what do you think?
Hey, Frank. I'm wondering if you have more entertainers, some people like, you know, Andy Dick, for example.
So Andy Dick, remind me what happened with him. I obviously know who Andy Dick is. I know, was
Frank,
it a sexual thing?
Wikipedia is like a rap sheet. A lot. Like his Wikipedia is like a rap sheet. It's insane.
So he had some legal problems, right?
And drug problems. But, yep.
And he's not doing anything now?
Well, who the hell knows, really? I mean, these days, Hollywood is just pumping out whatever they want to do as far as risks, but they're not casting him as his sexually aggressive behavior.
All right, I'll put him on the list. I'll put him on the list. Thank you. You know who else belongs on the list? Because my neighbor said Vince McMahon, and I can understand why she said it. Because look, he was basically chased out of this company that he helped build for the last 40 years. And his reputation is in shatter. Is why do I keep wanting to say in shatters? I think I want to keep combining the term in tatters and shattered. But his reputation is shattered, and now he's a punchline at best. He may even end up in prison. But again, there's another guy that still has $1 billion. So, all right, he doesn't get to run the WWE anymore. He only has $1 billion. I mean, that's still not bad. A lot of people wouldn't mind settling for that. But in the wrestling world, somebody that I do think absolutely qualifies as a fall from grace is the female wrestler and valet Sunny, or Tammy Lynn Sitch. This was someone who was a pinup idol, who was every male wrestling fan's fantasy. She was every wrestler's fantasy. She had relationships with a lot of wrestlers. Wrestlers would pine for her. And unfortunately, not only is she in a lot of trouble because of drinking and driving and some substance abuse issues and hurting people, she's serving a 17 years in prison. Committed a DUI manslaughter, drove with a suspended license, all sorts of other things. But she looks horrible. She looks literally like a different person. And unfortunately for somebody like Tammy Lynn Sitch, a lot of her calling card was how she looked. That was a lot of, you know, for better or worse, that was kind of what made her famous. 800-848-9222. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, she was the most downloaded woman in like 1997.
Is that true? So you would agree with that?
Oh, put 100%.
Her on list. Yeah. Who do you have? Anybody you want to throw on this?
As a fall from grace?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a bunch of wrestlers, I would say.
I know, but right, like,
it's kind of easy because of the lifestyle they led, and then when they fall out.
Well, who would you mention as a wrestler?
Well, China.
China. Died. Yeah, yeah, but okay. But I'm really talking about people that still lived, right? Like Harvey Weinstein has lived to see his fall from grace, right? I mean, same thing with Bill Cosby. He went from being America's dad to, again, another punchline for a lot of people, and ultimately, you know, served a little bit of time in prison himself. But what other wrestlers would you say were illustrative of a fall from grace?
Steve McMichael.
Well, because of his illness?
Well, that, but why it all happened in the first place, from doing all the steroids and the drugs. That's why all that came about.
I don't know that if people don't know Steve McMichael, he was part of the 1985, I think, Chicago Bears, that Super Bowl winning team. And then he became a wrestling announcer and then became a wrestler. I was not a very good wrestler. He was okay. Not great. But he then ran for office. A lot of people voted for him when he ran for office. And now he's battling a very serious illness and can't even talk. And again, another guy that looks like a different person. I don't know. I feel like, and I hate to say it this way, but I feel like the fact that he's been so sick has actually helped him, because now he's viewed as a sympathetic figure as opposed to a lot of these other guys that are on this list who folks just view as basically a total creep. 800-848-9222. David in the Bronx, I know you're going to have a good one.
Yeah, good morning. This person's actually dead, but I think this is one of the biggest falls of grace that I can remember, and I think many people probably forgot about this gentleman. Do you remember Jeff Smith, a.k.a. the Frugal Gourmet, who was all over PBS with his cooking programs that he had on celebrities and everything else, and then it was discovered, and he was also a reverend of some kind, I think it was in the Episcopal Church, and it was discovered that he had been sexually assaulting young men who were working in his restaurant. And he basically just disappeared, and then he died in obscurity years ago.
It's funny. I haven't thought about Jeff Smith in probably 20 years. I remember him being on television, and then I knew that I didn't see him anymore, but I had no idea about those sexual abuse allegations. I think that definitely qualifies.
That was a really big deal. And, because I'll be honest, my mom and grandmother were huge fans of that show.
Yeah, me too. He was on PBS, right?
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I thought he was a little bit weird. There was something about his eyes that made me kind of uncomfortable. And then when the story came out, it didn't actually surprise me. But yeah, I think that was one of the biggest ones ever. And the fact that he died and no one even remembers him, I think is kind of sad, really.
David, I agree with you.
I guess that's the price you pay.
That's a good one. Hey, Elisa from Connecticut just texted me too. And my neighbor picked one of these, but the other one no one mentioned. These are both good ones. Tanya Harding and Oscar Pistorius. Both good ones. I'm putting them both on the list. Elias, what do you have for us?
Phil Spector.
That is a great one.
Yeah, somebody I really respected for all of his music contributions, but well, that's a downfall.
I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about Robert Blake too, right?
Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'll put Robert Blake on the list. That's and unlike OJ, there's really no segment of the population that's rooting for Phil Spector and thinking that Phil Spector represents them. I think everybody kind of views him as at best a creep and at worst a murderer. 800-848-9222. Chris, what do you have for us?
Hey, Frank. Jimmy the Greek Snyder. That guy was the most famous handicapper on TV. For 14 years, he was on every week with Brett Musburger. He makes one comment, he's drunk, about what he thinks about slaves coming together and creating great black athletes. And that was it. He was done. Fired. Done. And I think he died penniless.
Did he die penniless?
Yeah, he died. I think if you read about it, you'll find out. Not penniless, but just he never could get another job again. You never saw him again. And he was one of the biggest things on TV, at least for me, growing up.
Oh, no doubt. Radio 2. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to put that on my list, and that's one that I hadn't had. Thank you for that, Chris. We'll do a couple more of these. Hey, did you see they saw a UFO at LaGuardia Airport? Did you see that? My goodness. Can't get away from these guys. So I don't know what the real deal is with that, but there's an event coming up called Contact in the Desert, and it's the largest UAP and UFO conference in the country. And at first, I was annoyed that nobody asked me to participate, because honestly, don't you think that's the kind of event that I should be at, participating in, moderating a panel, maybe? And then I said, let me look at who they invited instead of me. Turns out everybody they invited is much better than me and much more accomplished than me in the UFO sphere. and they probably have better moderators. So I looked at the list, and it's a who's who of guests that we've had on this show and other people that I've tried to get on this show to talk about UFOs. So I figured we'd invite the gentleman who who's running this, Ron Janix, on to talk about it. And we could kind of get his take on not only that LaGuardia UFO, but a bunch of other things. Val in St. Louis. Hello, Val.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Great. Thanks for listening.
What do you think about Mickey Rourke? Would I be off base thinking, did he fall? I mean, he had definitely a little tumbling out, you know, with his career. But.
I think if this were the year 2005, then he would be at the top of the list. But I think the comeback that he made with the movie The Wrestler, which led to a whole resurgence in his career and all sorts of awards and a renewed interest and everything. I think Mickey Rourke might be on the top of the list of a comeback. I think he's really one of the great American comeback stories of all time. So he did fall from grace, but I think he kind of came back.
Boy, it was a tough road, though.
It was indeed. Absolutely. I mean, and it was a weird road. It was a weird road. Remember, he left acting and chose to become a professional fighter. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was crazy. And I think, you know, John Gotti Jr. was or is friends with him. And I remember John told me a story that he was actually with Mickey Rourke the night before that he was arrested, before John Gotti was arrested. And he describes Mickey Rourke as being a very interesting guy, a fascinating guy. I think that's a good one. But he did fall, but I think he came back, right? So I think we have to have a separate list for comebacks, right? The great American comeback story, right? You know, what was Trump's second book? The Art of the Comeback. I've done hours on that. That's one of my favorite subjects to talk about, to listen to. And I think that's what makes this country so great, is that Americans love a comeback story. And honestly, and people may not like this, I think that could be one of the things that inures to Donald Trump's benefit this year, is it is a great comeback story. You mean we're going to take a guy that was twice impeached, that was put on trial in four different cases, and he's going to come back and win the presidential election again? I mean, if that's not a comeback story, you could love or hate Trump. I don't know what is. 800-848-9222. Charlie in Hell's Kitchen, what do you got for us, Charlie?
Sure. I think the obvious fall from grace, and it was truly a fall from grace, because I remember at the time as a little kid, was Richard Nixon. I mean, he left office, he left the job, which is, you know, the most important job in the world. He left truly disgraced. Looking back on it now, you know, it wasn't so horrible what he did or was accused of doing, but I mean, it would be nothing compared to some of the stuff that we know that the Kennedys and others were doing now, that we know now from history. But I mean, it at the time, and I'm sure you remember, as you're around my age or I'm around your age, Frank, we were little kids, and it just consumed and ravaged the entire country. And just leaving his, seeing him, I remember seeing him and his family leaving the White House, and his last speech he gave publicly about a time as president, when he was almost in tears, he said, "You don't win when your enemies hate you.
Yeah,
your enemies win when you hate them back."
Right. What he exactly said was, "Those who hate you don't win unless you hate them, and then you destroy yourself." Right. And that, right. The words that he said right before that always resonate with me. Always do your best. Never get discouraged. And then remember, those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. I think that's a good one, Charlie. That was my wife had on her list. He's another guy that I think made something of a comeback. His reputation was largely restored, wrote a lot of best-selling books, did kind of assume the role of an elder statesman. He was not shunned, really. He was respected. He got paid a bundle of money for the Frost-Nixon interviews, was considered a very respected voice on government and especially foreign policy. So I think you're right, but I'd almost put him more in the greatest comeback category. It's not the kind of comeback that he made in 1968, but it's a comeback nonetheless. We'll do one more here. One more. TJ in NJ. Hello.
Hi, Frank. Pete Rose, Mark McGuire, Roseanne Barr, and the Dixie Chicks all fell from grace.
I think Pete Rose definitely goes on the list. Mark McGuire definitely goes on the list. I think Roseanne is tricky because I think she still remains really popular with a large segment of the public. And and she still got a ton of money, which as I said, I think losing all your money is a big part of that fall from grace. And the Dixie Chicks, or as they call themselves now, the Chicks, I don't put them in that category at all. I mean, basically just certain Clear Channel stations wouldn't play them because of their comments about George W. Bush. And I think, honestly, a lot of what they said about Bush, maybe they didn't say it as artfully as one would hope. A lot of what they said about Bush was correct. And I think they've been borne out by history. And I don't get the sense that any of them are starving. If you're in a prison cell, or if you're close to homeless, that's bad. That's bad. You know, there was a story, and then I'm going to run. There was a story about the former president of Sierra Leone. Former president of Liberia. And he was also the former chief justice of the Supreme Court in Liberia. This is going back about 16 years. I'm sure he's passed away now. But that guy was living in a housing project in Staten Island. Former president and chief justice of Liberia is living in a housing project in Staten Island, totally penniless, sick, unhealthy, and depressed. That's a fall from grace. You go from running a country to living in a housing project, that's bad. You know, if you're someone like Roseanne and you're still a millionaire, you know, I mean, how bad could things be? You still can do a lot when you're super wealthy. I'm sorry. And I hate to sound so superficial, but it's true. It's true. You'd rather lose your reputation and keep your money than lose your reputation and your freedom and your money, as has been the case with some other folks. All right. Those of you that are holding, if you want to keep holding, we'll try and get to you a little later. We're going to talk to Ron Janix next about this really interesting conference that I would love to go to, but I don't think I'm going to get there. But maybe some of you can be there. We'll get into it straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gonna be bright sunshiny day. It's gonna be bright sunshiny day.
Well, don't look now, but there's a lot of images being floated around the internet of a UFO that might have been spotted near the LaGuardia Airport. Now, who knows what this is? I certainly don't. But I will tell you, there is nothing I am more curious about than the prospect of extraterrestrials. Is there intelligent life elsewhere? If there is, have they visited this planet? If they haven't, what are all these sightings that experienced military pilots and others have seen? To me, the combination of those three questions not only provides a lot of great fodder for late night radio, but I think is one of the most enduring questions in the history of human civilization. So I was really interested to see what was going on in terms of this Contact in the Desert conference. Turns out this is the world's leading UFO and UAP conference. And at first, I was a little sore that no one asked me to MC any of these panels. And then I look at the list of panelists and experts that are going to be speaking at this event, which starts May 30th. And it reads like a who's who of UFO guests that we've had on this show or wanted to get on this show. So I figured getting all these guys together, we should probably find out what this is all about. Who better to turn to than the man who is putting this all together, Ron Janix, owner and producer of Contact in the Desert, or as they call him, Captain Ron. Ron, thanks so much for joining me on the radio.
Absolutely, Frank. Yeah, that's the big question. Have UFO alien beings come to Earth? That is the big question. Yes, there's lights in the sky, and we all see that. But, you know, I think everybody assumes, or most people agree, that there is alien life out there. The question is whether or not it's been to Earth. And I think a lot of people, you know, at our event think that that is happening.
So, Ron, first tell us, how did you get the moniker Captain Ron? What are you a captain of?
Of nothing. That was a silly thing that we started on a radio show years ago, and it stuck, and I'm kind of stuck to it now.
Good for you. I like it. I make people address me as superstar, so it's
well,
it's
there
always,
you go, better yet.
Ron, tell me about Contact in the Desert. May 30th to June 3rd. What's the point of this conference, and who's going to be there? Where is it?
It's in the Coachella Valley. It's right near Palm Springs Airport, and it's a gathering. We have 73 speakers that talk on subjects related to lights in the sky, UFOs, contact experiences, anything related to that realm of paranormal. And it's also got a lot of people that talk about other things similar. For example, artificial intelligence. We have a huge tract of artificial intelligence and where science and space exploration is going using artificial intelligence. We also have a big tract of government disclosure where, for example, the attorney Daniel Sheehan, Stephen Bassett, they're going to be talking about what's happening in Congress right now. I don't know if you're aware, but Congress has been having closed door meetings with various whistleblowers and people from the military who have had these encounters and had these experiences. And it seems like we're moving slightly closer to disclosure.
If people want to learn more about this, by the way, they can go to contactinthedesert.com. It's contactinthedesert.com. Ron, this is right up my alley. I wish I could be there. But a lot of folks are listening to this conversation, and they're saying, here's a guy, you, who is trying to make money by hyping up something that's non-existent. I'm sure this is a criticism that you've heard before. How do you respond to the cynics in our audience who say this is something that people like Frank Morano and Ron Janix hype up just for radio ratings or for clicks or to get people to buy tickets to a conference?
Yeah, that couldn't be further from the truth. Number one, this is a mission-driven event, and if you look at our books, you'll see that we do not make that much money, to be honest. So that's off the table. The reality is this is a collection of people that genuinely have an interest in this. genuinely have had experiences. You know, there's different military people that have had different experiences. All of this is really coming from the heart and is very real. This is not at all malevolent in any way. We're not trying to do anything like that. We're not trying to even steer people's beliefs in different ways. We don't, you know, make any proclamations that it is aliens or whatever. In fact, I often stress that we should settle down with going right to the alien answer. Maybe it's something else, but what is it? There is strange things happening in our world, and we would like to move closer to what is happening, what the answers are.
Interesting, which I just absolutely love. You mentioned that you think it seems we're getting closer to disclosure. Fill folks in on that. Obviously, Congress can have these closed door meetings with whistleblowers. We don't know what these whistleblowers are telling Congress. So what leads you to think that we're getting to the point where the government is going to come forward with more information that they know?
Well, Senator Schumer wrote a bill last year called the UAP Disclosure Act. I mean, when's the last time you heard anything like that out of our Congress? You haven't. I mean, it's incredible that the fact that these guys are even talking about it. There's a UAP caucus in Congress now. They're actually having meetings with military officials and ex-military people. I think that's incredible. You know, it's not, we're not at the doorstep of disclosure, but we're certainly seeing a lot more acceptance of this discussion, and more people are taking it seriously from Congress. And I think that's a huge step forward.
So what do you think the next steps are?
Well, I think, if these guys keep pushing, you know, what happened is Schumer wrote that bill, and it was really going to get a lot of information to come out and a lot of clarity and a lot of transparency. And then what happened is right before they ended up passing it in December, they gutted it and took a lot of the teeth out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's going to happen next is hopefully as a few guys like Tim Burchett and some others are pushing for, they're going to get that original bill back. You know, that group Arrow that recently formed in the government, Department of Defense, is saying there's no such thing. We have no proof of aliens or ET technology. However, if you talk to some military witnesses, they say otherwise.
Do you believe that the government, and look, when we use that term, the government, that covers a lot of ground, but let's talk about key leaders in the military and the president, because when this subject comes up, those are the folks that most come to personify the knowledge of the subject. Do you believe that the president and key military leaders know more than they're letting on, or do you believe that they're as much in the dark as the public is on this subject?
I think it's the latter. From what you read and what you hear, I don't think the president has a need to know. He's in there for 4 years and he's out. And I think that there is a very strong possibility that there are black projects that are buried deep in the government that go on and on and on. If we have ET technology here, I don't think it even gets to the president. And I don't think it's the same for Congress. I think that those guys are just as much in the dark as the rest of us. And if you talk to some of these direct eyewitnesses, they make a very compelling case that there is something else going on.
Well, we're talking with Ron Janix. He's getting ready to put on this Contact in the Desert conference from May 30th to June 3rd. If you want to get tickets or learn more about it, you can go to contactinthedesert.com, contactinthedesert.com. Who are some of the people that are attending that you're really excited about to hear yourself and that some of our listeners might be excited to hear?
Richard Dolan will be speaking. Robert E. Grant. George Knapp is a very well-known journalist who I think is extremely important. Also, Matthew James Bailey. He's sort of heading up our AI, artificial intelligence track. And I think that stuff's just fascinating. I think there's a lot of ways artificial intelligence ties into this community. For example, when they talk about these craft, oh, that can't be a being doing a 90-degree turn that at that many miles per hour, it would die. You know, a human being wouldn't be able to withstand that. No, but artificial intelligence could. And what do you think we're going to send out into space? We're going to send artificially intelligently controlled craft that doesn't die, that doesn't get sick, constantly learning, sending back data constantly. Why would another civilization not do the same?
Richard, what's your belief as to the truth of extraterrestrials? Do you believe that there's extraterrestrials that have visited this planet?
I am extremely open to that. I've heard very compelling firsthand accounts, and it makes me extremely curious. What I will say is this. I feel that if you delve into this information at all, you will agree with me that there is certainly enough here that warrants more scientific investigation. And I'm trying to push for that, as is Avi Loeb from Harvard. That's sort of his mantra. It's like, look, we need to put some attention and some science behind this. And I'm in his camp.
If people like me can't make it out there to California, May 30th to June 3rd, is there a way for people to watch any of these panels online, either live or after the fact?
Both, Frank. We're going to have a live virtual attendance, a possibility for our main room, which is going to have 14 different panels on it. So you can experience it live in real time. You can chat with other people there. You can hear everything that's going on. You can talk to other people that are watching. That's going to happen live. And then we're going to try to make all of our lectures and things available after the fact. And you can all get all of that through contactinthedesert.com as well.
Well, that's terrific. Contactinthedesert.com. Ron Janix, best of luck. I'm sorry I can't be there. Next year, I want to help you moderate one of these panels, Ron.
That would be great, brother. Would love to have you.
All right. Check it out. Contactinthedesert.com. Great lineup of speakers. And he mentioned a few, but a lot of folks that have been on this show, not only Avi Loeb, but Richard Dolan, Nick Pope, who's a regular on this show, Whitley Strieber, who's great, and a number of other folks that are just terrific. And honestly, a number of other folks like Travis Walton that I've wanted to get on this show that have not been on. So if you're into aliens, this is a fun conference to go to. You know, again, hope to get there next year. All right, 800-848-9222. If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, we'll continue straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you.
9 minutes until the top of the hour. This is obviously the great Frank Sinatra. Today is the birthday of my friend Bruce Charrett, who has been on this program several times, and at least three of those occasions, he was on to talk about Frank Sinatra, and he actually knew Frank Sinatra. He, I think, is one of the few living people that can actually say they knew Frank Sinatra quite well. I mean, there are others, Tom Dreesen, for instance, and a couple of others, but Bruce is certainly one. And today is Bruce's birthday. It's also Tony's mom's birthday today, which I did not realize. Happy birthday to your mom. You doing anything this weekend for your mom's birthday?
I'm taking out to dinner tonight and just play by ear, but because she has early stage dementia, so we're just going to spend some quality time one-on-one.
Well, then at the very least, hopefully she won't mind if you forgot to get her a gift.
No, but she knows today's her birthday,
okay,
though.
All right, good for her. What kind of food are you going out for?
We're going to probably have some Caribbean food.
Caribbean food?
Yeah.
What's that, like jerk chicken?
Yeah, jerk chicken, peas and rice, you know, plantain salad and all of that stuff.
Sounds pretty good. Well, and enjoy. Have fun. So anyway, today's Bruce's birthday. He's a great guy and is such a student of all things Sinatra. And I asked him last night. I said, what's your favorite Sinatra song? And I think I've actually asked him that on the air, and he almost dismisses the question. He almost gets angry at it, saying, I really can't answer that because there were really no songs that were written for Sinatra. Not none, but very few. They were all songs that he adopted and adapted that were written from somewhere else, and he just improved upon them. And he said that Sinatra's claim to fame is really that he invented the standard. And then he lists a whole bunch of Sinatra songs depending on what kind of mood you wanted to be in the mood for. And you heard one just there with Come Fly With Me, which is certainly one of the great ones as far as I'm concerned. So happy birthday, Bruce Jarrett. I am now married to a woman who makes her own coffee creamer. No, I have not gotten divorced and remarried. My wife has taken on the habit of making her own coffee creamer. I don't use coffee creamer. I mean, I think I have used it, but I don't in my life. Maybe I've used it three times, but I take my coffee to the extent that I drink it black. Black, black, black. Black is just sludge, right? My wife likes a little coffee creamer in there because she finds it lightens it up just a little bit and gives a little sweetness. So she said she found this recipe, and she's been meaning to try this for a while, to make your own coffee creamer. It's just three ingredients, and you can find them all online. And she said it's so nice to not have 20 or actually she said 40 different chemicals, which is what is in most of the coffee creamers that you buy. So this is what she's doing from now on. She has made the transition from buying coffee creamer to now making her own. Now, when she said that, I thought she was going to be out there in the, you know, churning and milking cows and things like that. No, she is buying half and half, and that she adds two other ingredients to the half and half. But there you have it. Married to a woman that's making her own coffee creamer. I'm proud that Carmine gets to learn from somebody that can make things from scratch like that. All right. If you're just tuning in, a little earlier, in the context of the Harvey Weinstein case, we had asked the question, who are the biggest falls from grace in American history? We've got a pretty good list here. People like O.J. Simpson, Bill Cosby, people like Jared Fogle, John Mitchell, Jimmy Swaggart, Andy Dick, Tammy Switch, The Frugal Gourmet, Jeff Smith, Oscar Pistorius, Tanya Harding, Robert Blake, Jimmy the Greek. A couple of other people have suggestions. Rob in Montreal, hello.
Thanks, man. Fantastic show for some caller.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah, by the way, you have a lot of fans up in Montreal here.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. I've never been. I'm eager to go.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. We love listening to you. In fact, we have a lot of WABC listeners. As far as me, for the biggest fall from grace, I think it's got to be Lance Armstrong, right?
Oh, that's a very good one.
Yeah, I mean, here you have an American icon, American hero, 7th tour of France. I know he was denying that he used performance-enhancing drugs for the longest time. And then when he finally did, he was just shunned socially by the mainstream media, by the cycling world, had to give half of his money back. I don't think he's penniless by any stretch of imagination. Still has a lot of money, but I still think to this day, the cycling world will not take him back. He does. I think he's recuperated a little bit. He is doing a podcast.
Is he?
Yeah, it's called We Do. He talks about the Tour de France and whatnot. In my opinion, I think, yes, he fell from grace, but I still think he's an icon, man. Look at all the money he raised for cancer, regardless of what he thought, you know, he did for his cycling career. This guy raised millions and millions of dollars for cancer awareness. He did overcome cancer, so he did give hope to the, you know, to the cancer survivor. So, to me, I know he fell from grace, but I still see him, you know, as an American icon.
Rob, I think that's a good one. I put him on the list. 800-848-9222. Paul, who do you have?
I have Bernie Madoff.
You know, that's a great one. Here is a guy that was the toast of New York society, juiced in to every government figure, every private sector figure, wealthy as can be, lost it all, had family members commit suicide.
Yeah, including his son committed suicide. That's correct.
Yeah, that's a very good one, Paul. Thank you. Joel, what do you have for us?
Okay, by way of American spouses, too. Harry and Merkel, because of his fall from grace, as far as like the monarchy goes on that side, and also King Edward and the woman he married, who was a divorced woman, Simpson, which caused a big scandal at the time. And he also thought highly of Hitler and was he was really in most circles in Britain, not looked upon favorably, although he did get a title of like some Duke of the Bahamas or something like that.
You know, it's interesting that you mention a royal, and I know you made the American connection there, which I appreciate. My neighbor pointed out that she would put Prince Andrew on the list, along, of course, with Jeffrey Epstein. George, who do you have for us, George?
Frank, I was going to mention something.
George, we got about 30 seconds. They're all yours. Go ahead.
It was futuristic, so I'll ask you some other time. All right, the Shah of Iran, you know, Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein, internationally speaking, I know you're focusing on Americans falling from grace.
All right, not bad.
But those three, including Charles Taylor of Liberia.
George, I got to run. Thank you. Good stuff. Keep asking questions.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.